Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. I hope everybody had a very pleasant Purim, a meaningful one, and a nice Suda. And this week, to contrast with the Simchas Purim, we begin the Parsha of Kisisa, Parsha's Parah as well. The interesting thing about Parsha's Parah is it also is for Mechaper for the Eagle as well. That's one of the reasons that we have it as well. But, of course, that's for the Tumah of the people so that they can bring the Korban Pesach, which is why we have to do it before Parshas HaChodesh, so that we could be Tahar at least 7 days before we bring the Korban Pesach. But getting back to the Parsha, we begin the Parsha, very interestingly enough, with the Machzis HaShekel. Of course, we know we bring the Machzis HaShekel from Rosh Chodesh other on until Pesach. We have the opportunity to bring the Machzis HaShekel. But what is interesting more than that is something very different. It says the Machzis HaShekel was l'chaper al nafsho seichem. Now, what does that really mean? Of course, we are told that it means instead of the count that we have to do when we count anybody, we say today when we count, we say Hoshia Samecha. Of course, that's obviously what the Pasuk is meaning, Hoshia Samecha. We give a Machzis HaShekel, so rather than counting the people face-to-face, we count the money, and therefore we know. But interestingly enough, why do, in fact, that we use the coin as a shekel? Why does the Torah say to use a shekel? And this is something very different that occurred to me, is that it says, L'chaper al nafsho seichem. The word shekel and the word nefesh have the same numerical value of 430. And, of course, 430 is a very interesting number in the Chumash itself, because we discussed the amount of years that Bnei Yisrael, from the time of the Rishvein Absarim until they left Egypt, was again 430. I believe so many things have a lot of poignancy in the gematrias. Not that we hang anything on it, there are no halachas with gematrias, but nevertheless, they stand alone. But God tells Moshe, V'atah tedaber al Bnei Yisrael, I need you to speak to Bnei Yisrael in particular now, because if we're going to discuss the Mitzvah Shabbos as the Parsha begins until we get to Sheni, it has the Mitzvah Shabbos. And why would it be, after writing Parshas Mishpatim, we read a couple of weeks ago, various halachas that have to do with the Shabbos, but the fact remains now, we are embarking on a new job. And God told Moshe to tell the Klal Yisrael. He hasn't told them anything yet, but now he's about to tell them, as we see in next week's Parsha, when they get around the building in Vayakel Pekudei, to build the Mishkan, he's telling them. But there's one thing that's very important before they can build a Mishkan. They have to know all the rules and regulations, and this they have to know directly from Moshe Rabbeinu and not from the Zekanim. And so God tells Moshe, V'atot tedaber, previously, every time it says Daber el Bnei Yisrael, but here it says V'atah, specifically he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu to carry out the commandment himself and tell them. And the reason for that is that since we're going to build a Mishkan, and we know so many things how it's important, and Bnei Yisrael would think that the fact remains that the Mishkan is supposed to be Mechaper for the Egel, and therefore it's Bahor of Yalyav, or it's something that's so important, it might be, you could even be Mechal Shabbos. But the Torah tells us, V'shamru v'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos, the fact remains that we can only violate Shabbos for one thing, Pikuach Nefesh. Unless we think that Pikuach Nefesh has anything to do with building the Mishkan, that has nothing to do with it. So I'm telling you now to build a Mishkan before we read the story of the Egel, so you shouldn't have anything to do thinking that it is. The same way with the Machzis HaShekel. The reason the Chumash gives us, even though on some level it had something to do with the Kapara for building the Egel, but regardless of that, God always does it and tells him to do the Machzis HaShekel so we don't get the impression, as I entitled this year, which will once again focus on the next thing, things are not always what they appear. And that will be more evident when we get to the story of the Egel. But now God tells them to give the Machzis HaShekel, and now they're going to build the Mishkan. But all the work is not to be done on Shabbos, except for Pikuach Nefesh. But, of course, Pikuach Nefesh is for anything, really. Today we see how much further it goes, We even have that one would be allowed to, but it tells us something else. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. But what tells us is that, more than just even if your life is in danger, what's unbelievable to realize is that it's better for you to violate the Shabbos than to call a goy, to call a nochri, to do something for you. If, God forbid, somebody has to take a trip to the hospital because they're suffering from something that is an emergency, then rather than call a guy to call a taxi, you get in the car yourself, and it says that God will Moshe to tell the people how important Pikuach Nefesh is. And that is where we get up to the story of the Egel. Now, I told you the story begins with things are not always what they appear. And by that I mean that God is telling Moshe, Lechrei Kishichei Tamacha. God tells Moshe on Har Sinai that the Bnei Yisrael are being Oveda Hodazorah and all these things are happening. And Moshe sets out immediately to ask God for forgiveness before he goes down. And God forgives him and he says, Lech Nechei Esu'am El Asher Dibar Tiloch Hinei Malachi Yelech Lefonecha. But the fact remains that after that, God seems to be placated. Moshe comes down, and when he sees the egel, he smashes the luchos. And of course, as I've mentioned previously, God says something that's very interesting. So if they're not replacing me, and you think that they're replacing you because it's not Avodah Zorah the way you're trying to tell me, it's not so bad. But if you think they're replacing you, is that why you broke the luchos? In other words, how does it feel after all you've done for them? But now we're reaching a different level over here. We know God is trying to impart to Moshe one very basic thought. And we know from the Lashon of the story of the Egel something very important, and that is when the statement is made, it doesn't say who instigated. It just gives instigated the building of the Egel. It gives us the impression that it was the Jewish nation, the Jews among them. But of course, when we have the language that's used, Eil Elohecha Yisrael, who in fact would utter those words, this is your new God, you Jews, obviously this would not be Bnei Yisrael talking. This would have to be the Erev Rav who are talking. And God knows that. But the question is, if at this point in time, God already knows that it was not Aaron really who instigated the Egel, and it wasn't Klal Yisrael who instigated the Egel, and it was only the Erev Rav who started this whole mess, and then it filtered down to a few thousand of the Bnei Yisrael of 3 million, a few thousand were followers, and that God wanted to destroy the whole nation because of that. And if that were the case, that he felt he should destroy them, how come in reality that God was so placated so quickly and so easily, it would seem, by Moshe telling Klal, Moshe begging for their lives and saying, if you know all these things, why are you getting literally so hot under the collar? Why are you so upset about the whole scenario? And the answer to that is a very basic one. When I say things are not always what they appear, God knows that this is what they had in mind, that 90% of Klal Yisrael certainly had nothing to do with the Egel, because it says, God only had put to death regardless, it was still 3,000 souls who perished because of this sin. And that's a major tragedy, certainly. But the fact remains, of course, the sin is that nobody rose up to stop them. But it's so much more than that. God is trying to impart to Moshe and to Klal Yisrael, from the naked eye, from looking on the outside, what does it appear to be to everyone else who's the observers? If you're an observer looking, and it certainly looks like the entire nation of Israel, they're making a big party and everybody stands around. And even though it's the Erev Rav and only a few Jews who are supporting the Erev Rav with this whole Egel, but the appearances are that they're building an Egel for Avodah Zorah after he took them out of Mitzrayim. And of course, The problem is, one of the Mefarshim asks a very interesting question, which is, if Moshe is trying to placate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you think that it's a smart idea for Moshe to remind him how many good things and wonderful things, Barah, Tziyom, Laharog, Osam, Beharib, you took them out of Mitzrayim, Biot, Chazokov, Israel, Netuya, on the Osos of Mosim, you did 10 plagues, and you split the Red Sea, you did all these things. Maybe you shouldn't remember, as I maybe some of this mentioned last week, that you don't want to remind your boss all the raises and all the days off he gave you when you've done something terrible at work. That wouldn't be the good idea. You only want to focus on what's at the problem at hand. But the fact is that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to tell B'nai to God, placate him by saying, it was just too soon. Everything happened in Keherifayin. Things happen in such a fast and quick manner that they just weren't ready to accept all the stringencies and all the laws. And you might think, when Moshe tells them about Shabbos, one might think very simply that God says to Bnei Israel, Ki os hi beiniu veinechem, it's a covenant between you and me, because we might think on the outside, listen, God, you know, you created the world in 6 days, and in the seventh day you rested. That's wonderful, but we're not God. So why should we have to do anything to mimic God? In other words, because you rested on the seventh day, we should rest. We have nothing to do. We're not on the level of the Madrega of God. We had absolutely nothing to do with creation, or anything else that you have the power to do. It's not within our purview to even think about having those powers. But God is saying, it's ki os hi beiniu vein b'nei Yisrael os hi li'olam. I want to bring you up to a new level. I want to tell you that everything I do between B'nai Yisrael, between you Jewish people and me, is a complete partnership. We will exist together, and I have for you us to exist together, to coexist. I need you to perform certain mitzvos, and I need you to do certain things. And when you step out of line, even when things are not what they appear, I understand that it was only a few people. I understand that you weren't trying to replace me, that maybe you were only trying to replace Moshe. But how did it look to the outside world? That is what we always have to be concerned with. So the parasha begins with the Machzis HaShekel, and you might think that if I put the Machzis HaShekel afterwards, you would think the Machzis HaShekel was there for an agent of forgiveness for bringing from being the Maisa Egel. But the reality is, I understand that you didn't. So to save you the embarrassment, I'm giving you the mitzvah of the Machzis HaShekel before we begin the story of the Egel. And all of these things, and the mitzvah of building the Mishkan before we build the Egel, because I have more respect for you people than you obviously have for me. So the appearances, when we read it, of course, we would think by reading the Chumash, there are those that speculate and say that the commandment to build the Mishkan was beforehand, the commandment to give Machzis HaShekel beforehand, because I am concerned about your kavod, your respect, so that the people don't think all this was necessary for your forgiveness. I expect you to return the same capacity to live your life with, we are partners, and if we are partners, we have to be on the same page. And for that, I require you to observe the 613 mitzvahs. It may be a little soon and a little hard to get used to, but the reality is, I need you to move along and absorb it. And because I decided not to kill you at this point in time, Moshe convinced me not to. I was never intending to destroy you as a nation, but I wanted you to understand how it appears to me and how it appears to the outside world. And therefore, I'm asking you, I'm giving you another chance, but don't test me too many times. And you see how many times and how long God gives us this rope, because as we see by the end of Bamidbar and early Devarim, It says, Vayinatsu otzi eser pamim, you tested me 10 times. And God gives us that time for renewal. We have the month of Nisan coming up. We have the chance for renewal. And that's what HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, when we read it in another week, when we think about Pesach and we remind ourselves, we move from one miracle of Purim to the miracle of Pesach with the story of the Egel in between. We sandwich it with one miracle on one end and one miracle on the other. We look forward to Nisan v'Neflos in the years to come. Thank you very much and have a good evening and have a wonderful Shabbos.